Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Mac Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Mac Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D-Factor. The Mac Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Mac.
I've got the power!
Joe, you have no idea how long I've had to wait. Joe, you have no idea how long I've had to wait. This is the greatest thrill being on the swinging date.
Ella Fitzgerald, yes. It's sure to good see you. Ella Fitzgerald, it sure is good to see you. 'Cause baby girl, I love everything you do.
Good afternoon, Phoenix! Welcome to the Power Hour, gang. I'm Mac Newton, and it's a beautiful, I mean absolutely fabulously gorgeous, beautiful day in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. It is 1 minute past the hour, 5 o'clock, on Thursday, the 15th of January. The month is flying by. Eric, where is it going?
I don't know. It's screaming by, isn't it?
This guy's absolutely on fire. Welcome to the new year, gang. And we are listening to Ella Fitzgerald and Joe Williams bringing us in with some swinging jazz to get the Power Hour started off the way we like it. Hot. Let's listen to more a little bit of Ella and Joe. Oh, that sounds good. Joe Williams. One of the great jazz crooners, and Ella Fitzgerald. Oh, that sounds great. They just don't do that anymore. This is a cut called Party Blues. Like I said, with Joe Williams and Ella Fitzgerald. From the archives of the Mac Daddy, so you can't get it. Oh, gang, welcome to the Power Hour. My name is Mac Newton, and we do this show every Thursday. On the other side of the glass, that's my man, Eric. What's up?
What's happening, man?
Hey, man, you. That's what's happening.
That's
We have got a great show on tap for everyone listening in today. I told you that the fabulous Natasha would be back. I lied. She has a hair appointment today, so you know. Tell me, Eric, who's going to win out on that one, huh? He's speechless. You know, there's nothing to say.
No comment.
Exactly. You know who's going to win out on that one. We have got a great show for you guys today. I've got a monologue about decision making, which I just made a decision to do it before I came on the air.
Convenient. And,
exactly. So it's not written, so we're just going to kind of wing this one. But it's something I feel strongly about that I want to share with you guys today. We're going to pick up where we left off at last week with moving from the old you to the new you using quantum mechanics. And we have 15 steps, and we've completed 5 of them. So we're going to pick up and go from step number 6 and see how far we go. And if we have a little time at the end, we may even do a little bit more on goal setting. But don't worry about that part. Don't worry about that, because we are going to make sure, as soon as we finish our 15 steps, that you won't miss a thing. Hopefully today. I think I promised last week. Let me just think back. Run it back in my head. Yeah, I did promise that we were going to get started on the 7 steps, a goal-setting exercise. Okay, yeah, my word. We'll do that. So even if we don't finish up the 15 steps, we'll definitely get started on that. You know, I wrote a book a few years ago called The D-Factor. One book about 4 words. Desire, decision-making, determination, and discipline. 4 words that represent life skills. that can just turn dreams into reality. These are power words, unbelievable, powerful words. And the ability to make a decision, to get something started, is such a major achievement skill. And people don't understand the importance of being able to make a decision. Back in the late 80s, when I was struggling mightily with my, not just with my life, but with my sense of deserving to be rewarded. I didn't feel I'd done anything. And it seemed that I was just going through some really tough times. My hip was bad. Everything seemed to be bad. My personal life was in shambles. My finances were just terrible. And I heard a speech from a businessman out of Chicago named W. Clement Stone. You know, his appearance, he looked like Salvador Dali or something, with his little pencil thin mustache and his weird little voice. But once you got past that, what it boiled down to was just a genius. Just a genius. And he was the kind of guy that was philanthropic. He believed in helping others. He was a great, great speaker. He was a genius. And so in my monologue today, I'm going to talk about how I was influenced by the late, great W. Clement Stone and how that one word changed my life. But first, let's get to the thing that starts off every show. You know what that is, don't you, Eric? Shout outs. You betcha.
Yeah.
I think that Bray is probably back in town. He sent me an email the other day. Let me see if I can pull it up here. I just forgot I got my computer right here on the desk. It is cool. This is I am almost into the 20s. I'm up to about 1990 right now with the technology. You know, but I'm moving in slow, but I'm getting it, you know.
Any progress is good progress.
Exactly. Especially for me when it comes to technology. But yeah, Ray said he was surfing. Wow, that must have been exciting for you in Bali and Indonesia. Wow, for the holidays. So welcome back. And a shout out to you, Ray, and thanks for listening and your comments on last week's show. Always, Mark here in Phoenix and Al down there in South Florida. Shout out to you, too. Thanks for the comments. And Mark and Kim, thanks for the cute card you sent me for a happy new year and holiday here in Phoenix. Nick up in Denver and all of his boys. You know what? Nick started with me as a student 27 years ago today. 27 years ago.
Wow.
I mean, if I had a son, it would be Nick. And I would be so proud to call him my son. Peter and Bev, hope things are going great for you guys. They're also here in the Valley. And Dottie, where are you at? And of course, even though she's not here, we know where she's at. She's getting the hair done, and you know, on a scale, you know, the pecking order, hairdo, Mac Daddy, hairdo, Mac Daddy. What's first? Hairdo.
Hairdo.
Okay. I'm not gonna hold that against her, because she looks so fabulous once she gets it done. And of course, to the fabulous Natasha, the best shout out that we've got. All right. Getting back to our monologue for today on decision making. W. Clement Stone said in this speech, which I managed to get a record of, not a tape, but a record, a vinyl disc. He said that people who are overweight have not made a decision to be healthy. People who are unhealthy haven't made a decision to be healthy. People who are poor haven't made a decision to be prosperous. People who are underachieved haven't made a decision to achieve. He felt that all growth started with a conscious decision. Someone making a choice, bringing it up front, being a decision maker. I was so impacted by this. I felt, well, gee whiz, I had nothing to lose. I mean, my life was basically in the toilet. It couldn't get any lower. Finances, I had none. About 2 weeks after I first heard this speech, and I had listened to the record maybe a dozen times or more, and it transferred the record over to a continuous loop audio cassette. And I went down to get my mail once. I lived in a little small basement walk-down apartment in North 32nd Street. And I walked out to get my mail one day in the courtyard. And the manager, the office was right across from the mailboxes. She walked out. She says, "Mac, we're trying to get in touch with you." I says, "Oh, hi, Colleen. How are you?" She says, "Mac, I've got something for you." And she gave me an envelope. And she kind of stood there looking at me with this sad, sorrowful look on her face. And, you know, I knew it was probably some bad news in this letter because I was behind on my rent. I don't even remember how far, month, 2 months. No, I knew it was over a month, maybe 2, 3, maybe even 4 months behind. I had ignored all of them, the reminders they had sent me in the letters. I just tore them up. I didn't even bother to read them. I just figured, why bother? Nothing I could do about it anyway. That was my logic at the time. So she walks out, she gives me this letter. I knew it was bad news. I didn't expect it to be this bad. I open it up. I had 6 days to get out. I was being evicted. And she says, "Mac, I'm really sorry. I says, "Oh, it's okay. I know it's not, you know." I said, "It doesn't really matter." She goes, "What do you mean?" I says, "It doesn't matter. I've already made a decision to become rich." Even as I say it to you right now on the radio, years later, it sounds funny. But I was not kidding. You see, I had read this, I had listened to this speech over and over, and I had bought into W. Clement Stone's genius. I had bought into this logic. I needed to make some decisions about my life. I wanted to make some decisions about my health, and I made a decision about my wealth. I didn't just want to be get by. I've been doing that for years, Eric. I'd already been doing getting by. I wasn't getting by very well, but I was getting by. I wanted to live like some of the people I watched live. I was tired of being a have-not. I was tired of seeing people have things that I wanted, nice homes. I hadn't had a decent haircut in 3 years. I hadn't bought a new pair of shoes. I couldn't even remember when. I was eating stuff that I really didn't like to eat, and now I was being evicted. Well, anyway, I had 6 days, and I said, "It really doesn't matter." And she goes, "Oh, Mac." She gave me that look that you reserve for people who are just not in touch with reality, you know? And she was thinking, "Oh, Mac, oh, you poor thing." But in my mind, I wasn't serious. I wasn't kidding. I had made a decision to become rich. That was the last time I've seen her. I haven't seen her since. I'd be willing to bet you, though, she's heard about me because I'm still here in Phoenix. And I lived up to it. I wasn't kidding. I set out to become rich. I earned more money in the next 6 years than I'd earned in the previous 25 years. I have given away more money since then to various charities and causes, schools and children, homeless people, than I earned in my entire life up to 1988. I've given away. You can't give away something you don't have. Whether it's money or love, you can't give it away. I made a decision. And along the way, I started reading everything I could on decision making and decisiveness. No matter who wrote it, where it came from, I would read it. I found out a lot of things. I found out that if you take 200 businessmen at different ends of the spectrum of effectiveness, the top 100 businessmen, and on the other end of the spectrum, the bottom 100, you might find that intellectually, they're not that far apart. But the factor that's going to stand out the most is that the most effective businessmen are going to be effective decision makers, and the bottom 100 are not. It's they're not, like I say, the bottom are going to be almost just as smart. They're just, the IQ score is just as high. They're going to be just as effective. However, they don't make their decisions quickly. You've got to make your decisions quick. Make your decisions right. When I say make your decisions right, I'm saying make them fast. That doesn't always mean the decision is going to be right. Even when you make a decision quickly and you move ahead on it, it may be wrong. You know what that means? You're gonna drop it and you're gonna make another one. But when you don't make a decision, you're sitting indecisive. Nothing's happening. That reduces your effectiveness exponentially. You've got to make a choice. You got to make a decision, gang. Make a decision. You got to make a decision to finish your education. You got to make a decision to lose the weight. You got to make a decision to earn more money, to double your income. You got to make a decision to become rich. You got to make a decision, and you got to believe that decision. Well, you guys may remember, you, some of you sports fanatics out there, remember the name. His dad was a player in the league, Sandy Alomar Jr. He was a catcher with Cleveland at the time. He helped me move 3 days later. He was one of my clients. He helped me move, just the two of us, and we used his little mini blazer. I mean, back and forth. I had to move to an apartment that I'm not ashamed of. I had to move into something. It didn't smell that good. It was on a third floor walk up. And for the most part, I didn't even unpack. I was only there for 6 months. I'd already made a decision. And once you make a decision, things start to change. Your behavior changes. Your thinking changes. Everything changes. But you got to make a decision. As I said, it doesn't even have to be right. Once you get in the habit of making your decisions quickly, once you become an effective decision maker, your life is going to change. Those four D's, desire, decision making, determination, and discipline, the four D's can change your life. If you want to read more about it, you can always pick up a copy of my book, The D Factor, but this is not a commercial for that. It is a sincere urging for you to look at your life under a microscope, and any part that's not working for you, make a decision to change it. Make a decision. Let me just go to something here. I want to see. I remember being with Oakland, and those of you who've been listening to me for a while, you know that I love listening to people who are good thinkers, people who are achieved, people who are successful, winners. I love listening to them. I want to see how they think. Well, we had a Hall of Famer as our pitching coach, Don Sutton. And I remember him standing on the backfield at Phoenix Municipal Stadium once. He was talking to a young pitcher. His name was Kurt Young. Actually, I'm training his son right now. Anyway, Kurt was being tutored by Don, and I asked Don, I said, Don, could I just kind of, you know, eavesdrop on you guys for a little bit? He said, oh, sure. So I sort of stood far enough back not to be in the way, but close enough to hear every word he said. He says, Kurt, when you're on the mound, I want every pitch you throw to be decisive. I would rather you throw a decisive 85-mile-an-hour fastball than an indecisive 95-mile-an-hour fastball. I want you to be decisive about every single pitch. When you're able to put that pitch exactly where you want it, I don't care what speed it is, you are going to get the batter out. You're going to put him in a bad position. The Hall of Famer knew the importance of decisiveness. It's time for you to learn the importance of decisiveness. Being a decision maker. You got to trust your gut, trust your instinct, make your decision. Make your decision fast. Make it fast. I mean, you don't need background. You don't need more information. You don't need the perfect plan. You just need to trust your instinct and make a choice. If it doesn't work, abandon it and make another. I mean, trust me. Trust me on this. I didn't get any smarter. I didn't get any better looking. I didn't get any luckier. But the results changed dramatically after 1988. When I learned to do three things. I learned to set goals. I learned to like myself unconditionally. And I learned to be decisive, thanks to W. Clement Stone. Be decisive. Make a decision. Make it now if you have to. If there's something that's keeping you awake at night, make the decision on it right now. Sitting and thinking about it endlessly won't change the facts. Only you will just sit there and change over time. Make a choice. Make a decision on it. Don't sit indecisive about it from time to time. Here's one thing I want to tell you. So that you just to help you along that path. You only have to make the right decision once. And then all the bad decisions that you've made are washed away. Let me repeat that. You only have to make the right decision once. All the previous bad decisions, all the previous failures no longer matter. We rarely hear about people's bad decisions, especially once they're successful, do we? I mean, we don't hear about them. You know, once they make a good decision, they're successful and they're winners. We don't hear about all the failures they had. We just point to the great success that they are now. You know, some of the best-selling authors, you know, or acclaimed actors accumulate multiple rejections until the day they become an overnight success. So, you only have to make one good decision. You probably can't make it the first time because you don't have enough knowledge or experience. So we want to make a few bad ones. In fact, your first decision will probably not lead to a solution. It may even initially lead to bigger problems temporarily because there are some lessons that you need to learn and some issues and problems you've been ignoring, much like I had. Oh, I had 6 days to get out, but I'd made a decision to become rich. I wasn't going to be rich in 6 days. I had issues. I still had to move into another apartment. I still had to pay the back rent that I owed in that place just because I'd moved out. It wasn't going to go away. That had to be paid as well. There were lessons to be learned, no doubt, but I'd made that decision. I'd made a decision on my health, and I'd made a decision on my wealth, and I was not going back. I bought in 100%, and I've not backed down to this day. Just don't get discouraged by the fact that you will encounter some obstacles, especially obstacles that have been laying around, you know, getting bigger because you've been indecisive. Don't worry about that. Don't be discouraged. These obstacles will inform you that you have more to learn and you must continue on that path. Okay. That's the end of my monologue starting off our program for today. My name is Mac Newton, and if you just tuned in, this is the Power Hour. We meet every Thursday right here at www.macnewton.com. It is 23 minutes past the hour, 23 minutes past the hour 5 here in Phoenix, and wherever you may be, I hope you can look out like we can right now and see blue skies. Can you see that up there, Eric? That is fabulous.
It's
man.
Gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. What is the temperatures out there today?
Mid-70s.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think they even said the high 70s yeah. today. You know, like about 78, 79.
Yeah, yesterday was awesome, too.
Oh, it
was,
yeah, well, I mean, I don't even think the wind's moving. Wait. That's a cloud there. No, there's a wisp. Is that a cloud? That's a smoke from a rest. Oh, yeah. Sorry, gang. Got excited there for a moment. We had a cloud in the sky, but there wasn't.
Don't get a lot of those.
We don't get a lot of those down here. Wall-to-wall blue. Open in Chicago right now, I think it's 14 below zero up there. They had 58 below zero in Minnesota. Minnesota. Yeah, you betcha. You know, they actually talk like that up there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you betcha.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you know, yeah. So, it was like a 58 below wind chill in some parts of Minnesota, northern Minnesota, even down in the Twin Cities, as they call it up there. It was like a 25 below zero. I mean, we're talking seriously bitter cold. In Minneapolis, they don't, in the wintertime, they don't even walk out on the sidewalks. They have like skywalks between the buildings downtown. It's too cold to go outside. Mm-hmm. That's serious. I want to have one question. Why is anyone there? Why is anyone still there? Oh, it's so beautiful down here. We'll see you at the Super Bowl. And we're going to be there, too. You know, you're laughing, Eric. No, nope, we're going, man.
It.
We're going.
I'm laughing because I'm excited.
We're going. We're going to the Super Bowl. Who would have thought it? I mean, a team that couldn't run the ball, couldn't stop the run, could barely. Only thing we had were these two great wide receivers, you know. And we could be on our way to the Super Bowl once we beat Philadelphia and burst their bubble. And because they think they're going to beat us, too. See, that's what's happening. All these teams are not taking us seriously.
Yeah.
You know, and
we're
they're
flying under the radar.
Oh, so under the radar. I mean, my goodness gracious. Because my opinion is every team that we've beaten in the last 2 weeks better than us. I know for a fact that Carolina's better than us. They're lots better than us.
Yeah.
But we beat them. We didn't just beat them. We stomped them.
We crushed them.
So, I mean, they looked really bad. They just took us for granted. Another example of the power of mental attitude. I mean, absolutely. You know, Carolina didn't get beaten. They lost the game.
Yeah. Yes.
They just lost the game. They didn't do any of the things it takes to win, because if they had, they probably would have won the game. They had the better team. But anyway, I think we're on a roll right now. Every dog has its day, and I think this is ours. And if Philadelphia comes in here anyway thinking that they're going to just push us aside, they will be surprised and will go home with their tail feathers between their legs too. It's the battle of the birds, and the red birds are going to win. Okay, gang, it's 26 minutes past the hour. Let's get into our main topic for the day before we take our break at the bottom of the hour. And that's about 4 minutes away. And by the way, don't forget, do me a favor. Tell your friends about the Power Hour so they, too, can get fired up about their lives as well. Okay, we're talking about the 15 steps of making a quantum leap, of moving from the old you to the new you. Step number one, change your personal rules for success. Step number two, quit trying harder. Step number three, ignore conventional approaches. Step number four, think beyond what common sense would allow. And step number five, suspend your disbelief for the time being. Okay, now, if you've just tuned in and you haven't heard, go back to last week's show. It's archived, macnewton.com, and pick up with your notepad right there. Okay. Step number six. You don't have to know how you're going to get there. But this is what you need. You need to know where it is you're going. So the title to step number six is Focus on the Ends Rather Than the Means. The key is not to get in the way. You don't have to know how you're going to get there, but you need to know where you want to go. It's crucial, gang. Absolutely crucial to have a crystal clear picture of what you want to accomplish. You need to operate with a sharply defined mental image of the outcome that you desire. It's just like the first D in the D factor is desire. What do you want? Revet your attention on the spot where you're going to land at the end of the leap. Visualize your arrival. When you do that, it's like you magnetize yourself to the ways and means involved in getting there. It's like the solutions just begin to appear, just appear out of nowhere. Answers just come to you. Now, if you start worrying about everything that's going to be involved in getting from here to there, you're going to get all bogged down in questions about how am I going to do that? How is that going to happen? People always get hung up on this how-to stuff. Here's my answer to that. Skip it. The answers are just going to come to you. And when they do, you're going to find that they're simple, streamlined solutions. I mean simple. I got one more word to add to that. Elegant, simple, streamlined, and elegant solutions to your problems. You see, a quantum leap is a move that you're already prepared to make. You just haven't made it yet. Write that down. A quantum leap is a move you're prepared to make. You just haven't made it yet. You have the potential. The resources are there. The resources are available. The opportunity is available. The opportunity is there. What has been missing is your decision to go for it. Maybe this will help you frame the situation a little bit better. A quantum leap is something you've been keeping from happening. It's not the struggle. You don't have to struggle to make it happen. You can't force it into existence. You just let it occur. Okay, gang, the music tells me that we are at the bottom of the hour. We've got about, before we take our bottom of the hour break, gang? My name is Mac Newton, and you're listening to the Power Hour every Thursday here on MacNewton.com. Don't you go anywhere. We will be right back. gang. I'm Mac Newton. If you're listening to this show, you want more out of life. If you're listening to this show, you are a winner already. If you're listening to this show, you already know the magic words for success. What do we do about it? If you're listening to this show, I want you to tell your friends to come to the place where winners go. The people who say, what do we do about this? How do we make a change? How do we take charge? Winners never say, it's not my fault. That's the way it's always been done around here. Winners never say that. We talk about that all the time in the Power Hour. We have all sorts of tools right here for you, available at MacNewton.com. And more coming. You're going to be able to take charge of your health. In the future, in 2008, we will be able to work out right here, MacNewton.com. You'll be able to get your workout program in, your eating plan. Learn all about the 3-2 eating plan and get your attitude right. Learn how winners think. Listen to the thoughts of some of the greatest thinkers that are going on today. Listen to John Cannon and Robert Kiyosaki, guys that have done it before. Listen to new guests all coming to the Power Hour this year. The changes are coming. It's my dream. I'm going to make it happen with your help. I'm excited about the future, and I hope you are too. Let MacNewton.com and the Power Hour be your home. And tell your friends, if they want to get into the fast track, they should move in as well. Hey gang, welcome back. We're now in the second hour. It's 32 minutes past the hour. 32 and 2 minutes past 5 o'clock here in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. If you ever get to Phoenix and you want to, stop in and say hello to the Mac Daddy, just give us a call, 602-957-6492. If you're going to be in town, and let us know and we'll make an appointment with you. Or just send us an email at 7, S-E-V-E-N, at MacNewton.com with your comments and your questions, or any information you want to share with me. Don't expect me to answer the email always. I get a lot of them. I love reading them, but if they're compelling enough, we'll share them on the air, or I'll sit down and start clicking away. Sometimes I do that on Sundays. I'll stop by and just for the simple factor of throwing out a few emails out there. So I'm doing more and more of that as I get more and more accustomed. Like I was telling Eric earlier, I think I'm about to 1990 or 1992 when it comes to technology now. He says better late than never, Daddy. It's all right. Well, right before the break, we were talking about step number 6, focusing on the ends rather than the means. One of my last statements before the break was, you have the potential. The resources are there. The opportunity is there. What has been missing is your decision to go for it. There's that word again. Your decision to go for it. Okay. Maybe this will help you frame the situation a little bit better, okay? The quantum leap is something you've been keeping from happening. It's not something you have to struggle to make happen. We don't get into a fist fight here. You don't force it into existence. This is not like push-ups. This is not like sawing wood. You just let it occur. The key, as I said earlier, is not to get in the way. A quantum leap, a quantum solution, is the unexpected that comes to you with a sudden grace. It just sort of, it's there. Now you can open yourself up to such a breakthrough, but you can never force it to happen. You can even invite it in, but you can't make it happen. just by struggling harder or insisting that you first must get the perfect plan. You know, this whole idea of moving from the old you to the new you is achieved through sort of an intuitive, an instinctive discovery process. It is definitely a journey into self-discovery, but it's based on a sense of direction. In other words, the 3 points, here they come again. Point number one, you need an aiming point. Based on a sense of direction and aiming point, number two, you need action. And number three, you need to learn from your mistakes and continue your pursuit. This discovery process is based on that formula, a sense of direction and action. If you have all the answers and the entire structure and all the certainty all done up front, then it's not a quantum leap. You may be achieving something or building something, but it's not an exponential move. This formula that I'm talking to you about does not involve getting everything neatly organized and all the risks that you're going to take eliminated before you make your move. There is an element of shooting from the hip going on here. I mean, don't count on having all of your procedural issues all buttoned down before you start out. You got to be willing to tolerate a little, I don't know, how should I say, a little ambiguity, a little confusion, you know, possibly even a little chaos for a while, you know. You're going to shape your game plan as you go. So you got to allow for a little disorder in your life for a while. If you feel a little awkward, if you feel a little off balance, a little at risk, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. That's a sign that a quantum leap possibly is underway. Okay? If you get too concerned with this whole step-by-step plan of action that you want to follow, you'll find yourself just becoming all anxious and overly concerned about what kind of problems could happen and the roadblocks that could occur. For now, all you need is an aiming point and action. And oh yeah, one more thing. Learn from your mistakes and continue your pursuit. You need an aiming point and action. That's for now. Keep your mind on that. A quantum leap, remember, by definition, is moving into uncharted territory with no guide to follow. You personally draw the map as you go. I remember this so clearly when I was rehabilitating Bo Jackson. I mean, that was the ultimate uncharted territory, being criticized at every single turn. I mean, it was one thing to rehabilitate my own hip and go back to world-class performance in Taekwondo, but to take someone else, take Bo Jackson. I mean, he is a freak of nature. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but Bo had never met anyone like me. He had never worked hard like this. He'd never had to. Never had to do the things I wanted him to do. We were preparing a person to play in the major leagues in baseball with an artificial hip, something that had never been done before. And I was being questioned from every turn, from the management of the White Sox, from every doctor along the way. You want to talk about interference? I had to lock everyone out. I look back on it right now, and sometimes I'm amazed we got it done. It was a quantum leap, and we did it all in less than 9 months. The same job it took me 2 years for me and almost 15 months for Neil Lomax, 9 months. And when I watched him run around that circle and underneath Comiskey Park on television with all the cameras flying and pictures taken, and he was running like a gazelle, I was thinking, wow, wow. Eric, you know what he did in his first at-bat when he came back to the big leagues? Playing against the Yankees in his very first at-bat, he hit a home run. And it was an amazing thing because they did a show on, they called How Do They Do That? You may remember that show. Yeah. How do they make certain things? And yeah. So they did this show with me, and how did you actually bring this guy back? What did you do? Because at certain times during our work, they would come in with their cameras and take pictures in the beginning, and you'd see him on the floor, you see him limping around, and finally you saw him running around that state and you saw him hitting that home run. And my voice was actually superimposed over the picture, and they were asking me, do you feel vindicated with all from all the criticism? I says, no, I don't. That criticism never bothered me. It was the vision that Bo and I shared, and in the end, the bond that we shared, and the knowledge that setting goals and the vision and the decision making and the determination, what it can bring about in lives and how it can change the world, how it can change the world forever, because. This is not TV, and you can't see me, but I'm holding up a baseball card. You can see it right there. Can you see the guy's name, Eric? I'm holding up a card to the glass.
Isaac Hess?
Isaac Hess, number 10. Isaac Hess is pitching in double-A ball now with an artificial hip. He was a kid when Bo and I were doing this, and he read about us, and he saw us on television, and he had a Perthi syndrome where he knew he was going to lose his hip. And because of the work we did, he's on his journey to the big leagues. And
he's
awesome. It's awesome. And there are other ice skaters and hockey players that their lives have been permanently impacted by the work that we did. I says, no, I am not. I don't feel vindicated. I just feel happy. But it takes things to make this happen, folks. And you need sometimes to move exponentially. You can't do things just moving sequentially. We don't have time to always go step by step. We have to skip several steps once in a while. So as I said, for now, all you need is an aiming point and action. A quantum leap, by definition, means moving into uncharted territory with no guide to follow. You personally draw the map as you go. Look at it this way. You're not supposed to be concerned about what happens in the middle of the jump, are you? You're supposed to be thinking about where you're going to land. That's what you should be thinking about. If not, you're going to hurt yourself. Now, I promise you at the top of the show, that we were definitely going to get into the 7-step goal setting exercise that I promised you last week as well, and we're definitely going to do that. So for this week, Eric, we're only going to do 1 step, okay? Because I want to make sure I get through all 7 steps. Now, if I go through all 7 steps and I have some time at the end, I may touch on step number 7. But I've got my handwritten list here. I should have it somewhere around here. Here it is, right here. Okay. You can hear my papers. You can see this is kind of dog-eared, huh, Eric? This is kind of worn. I've used this a bit. This is a goal-setting exercise. Now, what I'm going to do today, gang, is this. I'm going to just give you the questions. I'm not going to run you through the program. I'm going to tell you how long you should give yourself to answer each one of these. This goal-setting exercise is going to help you in the process of discovering who you are and what you want and allow you to set better goals. And then once we finish our 15 steps, then we're going to go back, revisit our quick start goal setting exercise, and then to our 12-step, road to developing a major definite purpose and establishing our goal setting habits. Goal setting exercise question number 1. Okay, we're going to have 60 seconds to answer this question. And you can actually do it as as you listen to the show. You can just press pause. 60 seconds. What are your 5 basic values in life? What do you value most in your life? You got 60 seconds. Is it your car? Is it your stereo? Your house? Your family? Is it your spiritual life? Is it your mind? Your family? Is it some new wheels you just bought? Your new job? You know, you want to write down your 5 basic values in life and then organize them in order of importance, and you only have 60 seconds to do so. Okay? Now, what I'm going to do next week, Eric, is I am going to basically break down exactly what each one of these 7 questions mean. I'm going to explain them, said this is what we're trying to accomplish with each one of these questions. Question number 2, and you've only got 30 seconds for this question. Give me, or say to yourself, the 3 most important goals in your life right now. The 3 most important goals in your life right now. What are they? What are the 3 most important goals in your life? This is a very easy question. I mean, some people, they can't think of anything. Some people might say money, you know, or love, or health. I don't know, money, love, health. What are the 3 most important goals in your life right now? Okay, 30 seconds for that question. Question number three. How would you spend your time if you found out today you only had 6 months to live? How would you spend your time today if you found out you only had 6 months to live? Now, you got to keep one thing in mind. Everything you put on this list, you can have or do, but you must write it down. Who would you call? Who would you see? What would you do more of? What would you do less of? How would you spend your time if you found out today you only had 6 months to live? Okay? And you have 60 seconds to answer that question. No more, no less. Question number four. How would you change your life if you found out today that you had just won $10 million in the lottery? Some people say, well, I don't have to think about that. Well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. The average person can only spend, right off the bat, about $200,000. I mean, they really can't get their mind around $10 million. So, you know, you got 60 seconds to answer this question. They can't get their mind around a million, let alone 10 million. How would you change your life today if you found out you just won $10 million in the lottery? What would you do differently? Now, everything you write down, you can have. Would you change jobs? Would you quit your job? Would you start a new relationship? Would you end your current relationship? What would you do? How would you change your life from what it is right now? Remember, 60 seconds to answer that question. I also suggest that you retake this test once a month or so. I take it on a very regular basis because we're always in, our lives are fluid, and we're fluid, and we're always changing. Question number five. What have you always wanted to do but been afraid to try? This is a very revealing question about people. You get some very interesting answers here, especially if they're honest and objective. You see, you're not going to turn this paper in, so you might as well not try to put down an answer that someone wants to hear. I mean, this is just for you. So you have to give your honest answers, and you only have for this question 30 seconds. Question number five. What have you always wanted to do but been afraid to try? I mean, have you wanted to run for public office but been afraid? Have you wanted to start a business, go skydiving, bungee jump? Won't catch me doing that. Been afraid to try? Yeah. Always wanted to do it? No. Okay. Again, if you want to start a new relationship, you want to get married, you want to get out of a relationship, just write it down. Just write it down. What have you always wanted to do but been afraid to try? 30 seconds. Got to get it quickly. Okay. Question number six. What sort of activities in life give you the greatest feeling of importance? Now, sometimes I like to change other words for importance. What sort of activities in life give you the greatest feeling of pleasure, joy, peace, personal satisfaction? How, whatever word you use, it's very important, okay? It's a very important question. What were you doing at that time? Who were you doing it with? I mean, look back over your life. What were the circumstances when you, what were you doing? What sort of activities gave you the greatest or give you the greatest feeling of importance? Again, this is quick, only 30 seconds. Once you're doing it, only 30 seconds for this question. And finally, question number seven. If I could give you a magic pill to create this, what one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew beyond a doubt you could not fail? You know, that question I've been using for a long time. And my good friend Tom Toomey up in Denver actually had a gigantic rock that weighs about 200 pounds is out on my training floor right now, Eric, engraved with that same thing. What great thing would you dare to dream if you knew, beyond a doubt, you could not fail? I mean, you have guaranteed success. What would it be? What one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you could not fail? Guaranteed success. What would it be? I mean, if I could give you that magic pill, what would it be? 45 seconds for this final question, number 7. I mean, in almost every case, an answer will spring to your lips. I mean, some people, can go through without being able to answer anything sometimes in the time that's given. You know, that's okay. The purpose is to help you crystallize your goals and to help you get your goals down that reflect goals that you want and not goals that reflect, the opinions of society or other people you know or your parents or your bosses. This, again, is another journey into self-discovery. Now, next week, I'm going to give you what each one of these questions means. Sort of what we're supposed to get out of them. I mean, there are no wrong answers to these questions. They're just your answers. So spend the time so that it forces the question, make that answer jump right off of your lips. Those are the questions. We'll see how you did next week. Okay, we did pretty good with that. We did pretty good with that time-wise there, Eric. Yeah. I wasn't sure how long it was going to take, so I wanted to make sure I got it in. So we started a little bit early. Right now, it is 52 minutes past the hour. It is 8 minutes before the hour of 6 here in Phoenix, Arizona, and the sun is still in the sky. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. I mean, you've been wearing a short sleeve out there all day, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was out earlier. I mean,
I think I wore shorts yesterday.
You know, did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? You know, the people that come to town, they're from out of town, you can tell them in a heartbeat. You know, first of all, they look like, they look like newspaper print. They're just so white. Yeah. And and their skin is so pale. And they're running around. It might be in the morning, like it's, in the morning here, we say it's cool. We get up in the morning because it's 47 or 50 degrees. That's chilly for us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you guys get down here from Cleveland, in Chicago. It's 49 degrees, 50 degrees in the morning. You guys are out for a jog with bare-chested, short pants on. Put on some clothes, man. We don't want to look at you. Put some clothes on that body. That thing looks terrible. You know, certain kinds of jiggling's okay. That ain't one of them. We don't want to look at that stuff anymore. Put on some clothes. I know you're feeling good about yourself. You're in Phoenix on vacation. Air pollution advisory. Oh my goodness gracious. You're thinking, oh, it's 50. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. We're going to go for a jog. Oh no. Welcome to town, folks. We love having you here. You give us a chuckle every year. It's so funny to see you guys here. Funny thing though, you won't believe this. They think the people in the powers that be in the state think that the population of Phoenix is actually shrinking.
I saw that in the paper.
Did you? Yeah. They think the population of Phoenix, and that's a concern because it affects tax dollars.
Yeah.
The amount of taxes that we get from the federal government and from the state are all based on population. So I think a new census is going to be taken soon, but they're saying all the signs, things like garbage collection and people applying for water turn-ons and houses that are being financed and things, all those indicators are down. And people are a little concerned that the population of Phoenix is shrinking. Listen, tell you folks, let me tell you something. There is no doubt that if there was an epicenter of, you might say, our economic downfall, our so-called recession, or whatever they want to call it, Phoenix might have been it because of our tremendous dependence upon on real estate and tourism. But you know what? That just means that we have a better opportunity to recover. Nick asked me, because every year I have a word. I have a word that I use for the year. He calls me up. He says, Master Newton, he says, what's your word for the year? without blinking, I says, our word this year is recovery. Recovery, recover, recover. That's our word. It's a powerful word. It's a really good word. I'm going to share it with you. That's our word this year is recover. I don't care if you're living in Phoenix or you're in New York or you're in Kentucky or you're in Indonesia or you're on the equator or no matter where you are, I want you thinking recovery the same way as when Tiger Woods hits a ball into the woods. Watch his body language as he walks, as he starts into the woods. He's thinking, that's okay. Anyone can hit a ball into the woods. Anyone can have a recession. Anyone can have a downtime. How do you recover? How do you come back? That is our challenge, and that's the measure of us as a people. That's the measure of you as a person. How do you recover? How do you recover? I also want to give a shout out to TP, Ted Purdy. We call him the Total Package. He's also a PGA Tour player who trains with me, but he's out this week playing in starting today in the Sony Open. So we can tune in and see how he's doing. I don't know where the Golf Channel is. See, I get my list over here and see if we can find out where the Golf Channel is. He may be playing right now, as a matter of fact. Let's see here, gang, as we go down. I love doing this show from my office because the Golf Channel is on 605. Let's see what we got here on 605. Okay, 605 on the big screen on the wall, Golf Channel. Nope, it's moved to 218. Okay, it is moved to 218. So the Golf Channel has a new home, 218. And okay, we got golf on HD, but we don't have that channel. Sorry about that, folks. We don't have that channel. We do not have the Golf Channel. I may have to get the Golf Channel just so I can watch my clients that I train who are professional golfers, and I train several. Ted Purdy is one. We want to keep an eye on him. So you tune in to the Golf Channel on DirecTV channel 218. And check out Ted Purdy this week. If you'll notice closely on his sleeve, you'll notice my trademark flying figure.
Yeah.
My trademark flying figure.
Yeah.
He wears our flying figure on his sleeve. We're official sponsor for Ted Purdy. Okay, gang. Wow. I tell you, the time just flies. There's 3 minutes left to go in the show, and it just seems that we don't have time. But we're going to touch on step number 7 anyway. We'll have that sort of going for us too. Step number 7. The title: Rely on Unseen Forces. Now, this is the official halfway point. All the stuff that we've talked about up to this point is kind of the Mac Daddy convincing you, giving you a sales pitch, telling you how this is something you should do. From this point on, I'm going to be getting into the crux of the matter. I'm going to be getting to the hard data of how to make a quantum leap, how to move from the old you to the new you. Step number 7, rely on the unseen forces. When you look to improve your performance by an order of magnitude, you know, you can, it sounds unrealistic. I mean, if you think of it as something you have to do all by yourself, the thing is, you don't. Well, the music starts. I guess right now we will just pick up with step number 7, but you know where it is. I'm going to spend a moment talking about this lady here. Yeah.
Do you remember?
When
you had lonely, lonely nights.
Marlena Shaw.
Yes,
a woman of my heart. A fabulous jazz singer. Who brought herself up from just the depths of life to reclaim her talent.
Send me somebody to love.
And I mean, just bring lots of great music for all of us to enjoy. One day we'll feature her and I'll tell you all about her. She's singing At Last, and I wanted to let her get her version out there because, you know, I think there's a new show called Cadillac Records, where Beyonce plays the role of Etta James, and she just tears this At Last up. So we've got two of them. You just tune in and see. To see Beyonce, and this is, of course, Marlena Shaw, who soon, maybe next week, remind me, Eric, soon will be our featured guest star. Okay, gang, as we always do on the Power Hour, I want you to remind yourself to be true to you. Let your words and your behaviors match. And as always, we want to say thanks to Bob Adlock, who got us started on this whole Power Hour deal. We love it. Pat McMahon, the ultimate professional in radio in the world. John Cannon, who I talked to yesterday up in San Francisco, and we can get him down here so we can be on the show. And, of course, Eric Behind the Glass. And, of course, to the fabulous Natasha. We miss you, darling. Look to have you back on the show real soon. I'm the Mac Daddy. Peace. 3, 2, 1. I am out. I found it.